the life of our church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, or today, I said tonight because I usually preach, or have been preaching, on the Psalms in the evenings. And this evening, I'm preaching on Psalm 149. I've already preached on Psalm 150 as a whole. But this morning, one verse from Psalm 150, that's Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm preaching on this morning, at least partially, because some of you, even though I've been preaching on the Psalms for, I think, a number of years, I haven't even kept track of how long I've preached. I'm over 200 sermons on the Psalms as I've been going through them. All the way from Psalm 1, I've preached on every Psalm at least once. And so you're getting a taste of Sunday evening in the morning. And then also, this Psalm communicates some of my view on ministry for our church, and not just for our church, but also a ministry for us each as individuals, and some for our homes, in regard to our hobbies, whatever we might do, there's an opportunity of ministry in that. I had a time in my early Christian life where I watched no TV at all, not even the news. I read no secular books and prayed about every Christian book I might purchase or read. And I went 3 years at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School this way. And yet, when I started my seminary internship at Grace Church in Colorado Springs and at Glen Eerie with the Navigators, when I was with the Navigators, I was in this group called the Leadership Development Institute, and I was 27 years old at the time, and I was right probably in the middle of the age of all the young people, almost all of us singles, that were in this group. And we met usually every morning, every noon, and every evening for our meals, breakfast, lunch, and supper. And I was shy. And as the conversation, even among these young Christians, was rarely about the Bible, I remember sitting there and not being in the conversation at all. And I remember thinking, I need to go to some of these movies or something so I can communicate to the people around me, or at least watch something in the news, or at least look at the sports section so I could say who won or lost and something like this. And in order to even talk to my Christian companions, I needed some knowledge of some things beyond the Bible. And so I went prayerfully to the movies with some of my friends, with the goal of using the movie material to be able to talk to somebody about the Lord. And so I went to these different movies and things that way. And later in my life, after I had gone to another seminary for a couple years and was seeking a position at the Congregational Church in Lymington, Maine, which is a very godly, reformed congregational church at the time. Now it's an Orthodox Presbyterian church. As I was seeking that position, I got down to the point where there were like 5 or 10 men they were still interviewing. And I was talking to an elder. I happen to be from Chicago, and he was from Chicago too. And he was talking about living in Maine as a person from Chicago, and how he had not really he wasn't accepted totally as a Mainer. And he said he thought that might be one of my issues because I wasn't from Maine. And I said, well, how can I help this? What can I do? And he says, read Stephen King. And I thought, Stephen King. Now, some of you know I was raised, my parents loved to watch horror movies and stuff like this, so it wasn't totally out of the question, but I had never watched a Stephen King movie or read a book before. But he told me some of the books that might be more in line with, because he does have, there's a book called The Eye of the Dragon, where the hero in the movie, Peter, is put up in prison. And how does he win the day? Well, with 40 days of fasting and prayer. And I thought, well, there, that's easy to put it. We need to do the same thing. And so I saw some things in there that I could relate to the gospel. It's a movie that I relate to Psalm 150, verse 6, is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And that's another movie you would definitely not consider Christian. It's probably less Christian than some of the Stephen King. But it starts with this song, sung mostly in Chinese, Anything Goes. It's an old song, and now I'm not thinking of the author of it, but a famous old author. And it's sung mostly in Chinese, and then the only English in it regularly is Anything Goes. And if you watch the movie, you see Anything Goes is the theme of the movie. Indiana Jones is poisoned. He jumps out of a window to go down into a to getaway car driven by a child. He gets on his enemy's airplane to escape, but the enemy's pilots jump out with a parachute, so they have to jump out of the plane on an inflatable boat, which they land and slide down the snow-covered mountain into a river, and they eat monkey brains and baby snakes and eyeball soup, and it's just crazy. Anything Goes is part of the movie, and I think some have brought that idea to church. And so I have seen in my Christian life people having communion for animals or bounce houses on the Lord's Day, or whatever it takes to bring people into the church, because they sincerely want to bring people in. And so they do these things, dramas, skits, instead of a sermon, sometimes completely different stuff. And so how do these things relate? How do we communicate to a people, whether we do these things or we don't do these things, how do we reach out to people outside the church? And so my first point today is I believe certain things are necessary to worship, especially on Sunday morning. And these things, I think, are mainly communicated in Acts 2, verses 42 through 47, when it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily those who were being saved. They did all these things, and how did they grow? The Lord Himself added to their number, not just people that were coming into the building, but people who were actually saved. And so we see several things here that were key ingredients to this happening. And the first one is the apostles' doctrine, which is for us biblical teaching, because what the apostles were teaching were they were teaching the Bible, biblical teaching and biblical preaching. And we know, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, meaning it has a benefit to it. This Bible does. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so this Bible is key to our worship. It's part of the reason. Now we don't, because we're celebrating the Lord's Supper today, but normally the Bible is out in front of us. And part of the reason we pick the name Word of Life is because of the Word. And we believe it's profitable. It brings life. That's part of the reason we changed the name. 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul is talking to Timothy and he says, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. He would teach his understudy, Timothy, this is where the power is, preaching the word. Be ready at all times, in season and out of season, which I think part of it saying, even when you're not in the pulpit on Sunday morning, be ready to share, to preach God's word. And then secondly, fellowship. It goes from the apostles' doctrine to fellowship in Acts 2:42, and consider one another. It says in Hebrews 10:24 and 25, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Part of fellowship is when we come together on Sunday mornings. Another kind of fellowship is when we come together at other times. And we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This is something we should do regularly. When a Christian starts missing church week after week after week, they get to be weaker and weaker and weaker. We need each other. One of the great problems with the COVID is if with people are just watching sermons on their computer or on a television screen or something like that, they're missing the fellowship we have, the encouragement we provide each other. Breaking of bread, which is the Lord's Supper, and we do that today. It's part of our worship and the prayers. And I think as our church, one of the things and one of the reasons I was going to preach on Ephesians 6:18 tonight, but it'll probably be next Sunday night, is prayer. We need to be not just a church of the word, but we need to be a church that prays. And I think we've fallen off on some of that. But it says in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Imagine praying with such fervency that the place you're meeting together in is shaken. That's an amazing level of prayer. I dream of that might someday be the case with us, that we would pray in such a way that the place is shaken, or that we see dramatic things happen in answer to prayers. Offerings, or beyond an ordinary offering. Here we see, now all the people believed together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need, sharing with one another, providing for needs. You know, the community of the church, I believe, used to be the main charity in our in our nation or even in other places where Christianity was strong. And I believe in some cases it still is. We just don't get the news. Like when Hurricane Charlie came, I saw the church here and there. Our own PCA came in and our whole place here was filled with goods that we took out to the community. The big church over here, which has changed its name a few times, I saw them going everywhere with all sorts of things to share with people and to provide needs. But on the news, all you ever saw was the Red Cross. They did not want to give us publicity. But we still are sharing people. But we can't let the government say, replace us. We need to be giving people. Praise we see here in Acts 2:47, God's favor, and the Lord added to the church daily to those who are being saved. If we do all these things, the Lord will favor us. Because we focus on these things above, at the very least on Sunday mornings, we don't have to do skits or bounce houses or things like that. But we can do these things, or can we do these things or other things on other days? I think we can. Yes, we can. But remember, too, these things above are not only important to our worship, prayer, reading Bible, scripture, you know, the things that are said here, but they're important to our very lives. And so when we read the Bible on Sunday mornings, or when you follow my outline or my sermon, every day, every Christian should be in the Word, should be reading the Word. That's where we build our strength. C.H. Spurgeon, the pastor, the Baptist pastor, had such an impact on the world, was a man of the Word and a man of prayer. And he would say, to have an impact on the world, like a pile driver, if you lift a pile driver an inch off the earth and let it go down, it doesn't really do much. But if you lift it up quite a bit high and drop that thing and let it hit hard, it has a real impact. And when we're high in heaven in our prayers and in our devotion to God, when we're there and then we hit the earth, we hit it with power. We hit it with might. And so the first part of this is be men and women of the Word, of prayer, of the Lord's Supper, of the things that are commanded here. But secondly, remember the Word of God is your staple, as I said, your daily food. Here it says they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They wanted to be together daily. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. We may not meet together daily, but we should read the scripture daily. We should pray daily. We should spend more time in God's word than we do watching television, movies, or entertainment. If we watch television more than we're in the scripture, then that's what's going to influence and be in our minds and hearts more than the Bible. If we're in the scripture more, then if we watch television on the side, we'll watch it with an eye towards God. What does God say about what we're watching and seeing? We live, this is point number three, big point number three, we live in an entertainment-oriented society. And how do we reach them? Here, 1 Corinthians 9:19-23 says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I may win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as those under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. I think this is Paul's kind of application of Psalm 150 verse 6, where he's saying, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And in all these different ways, the Apostle Paul wanted to do whatever it took to win somebody to Christ. And so as I've talked to you about what should be the core of our lives, which is the Word of God and prayer and the core of our worship, when we reach out, there are many different ways to reach out to many different kinds of people. Right after Paul wrote these things in 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23, in verses 24 through 27, he takes an illustration from the Olympics. He says, those who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. And I remember as an early Christian, I was a runner. And I was known in the community as a runner. And as a 20-year-old, I preached my first sermon on running. And it was easy to preach on that because not only did the people at that particular church know I was a runner, but I had knowledge of running and I could relate that to the scripture. Then I have to preach the next week, and that's another story because they like the sermon. It's a lot harder the next week. But anyway, Paul uses a sports illustration. He uses an illustration for the Olympics. It wasn't part of the Bible until he made it part of the Bible. And it's something we can do. We can relate to people about things that they might relate to. I am credited with leading one young man by his mother and by him as well through my sports card collection. When I was in seminary in Mississippi at RTS, I worked the last portion of time, probably a little over a year, at a place called Steel Services. My boss, the manager over me, was a Christian man. He went to our church, the same church I went to, and his wife also worked at the same place, and they were friendly toward me. And I remember his son liked baseball cards and sports cards and things like this. And so I was showing him my collection, and I talked to him about Christ. And, you know, the same thing it led to, and I didn't even know it at the time, him committing himself to Christ. And because I was willing to take the time to spend the time with a kid who loves sports cards, he became a Christian through that. And he credits me with leading him. And his mother and his father both are still my friends to this day. And, you know, they've talked about coming here to Northport. Right now they live up north, but someday they might be members of our church here. I have not done this lately, not with the sports cards, but in Northport it's a possibility. I saw yesterday, I was driving home, I think, well, not yesterday, I got home Friday night, and I was really, really tired. But yesterday, after I finally got up, I went out to the grocery store to get some things I didn't have, and I saw there was a sign, the sports card show was on. Well, I was still too tired to go and do anything with it, but it's a possibility here. And if I went, I wouldn't go because I was super interested in sports cards, but it would be a chance for me to meet people outside of the church. Basically, all of you, and now I got Pastor Bruce and his wife, but you guys are my friends, and friends who are mostly church people. I have a couple friends that are outside the church, and I share the gospel with them. My house, our houses, are places for hospitality. When I bought this house, we were in a different circumstance as a church. I was asked by my daughter if she could come live with me. And this was when my mom had died. She was thinking we'd all live in my mom's house, which was a much bigger house than the house I had. And you all know the story. Both houses were sold, and I bought a house that is way big for just one person. It was big enough for my daughter and her four children and her husband, and they were there till just recently, and now I have another family with me. And when I got back from Birmingham, and actually it was just yesterday, because they were like, we had a problem with the air conditioning and stuff like that, but the family that's living with me that are part Russian, part Ukrainian, had to come from Ukraine. They asked me, actually this morning, if another family could come and stay with me. So they only stay for a day or maybe a little longer. Well, they look for a place in Northport, but they would likely, if they do move here, join Alexei's church. And so we are very happy that that's what my house has become, a place of ministry. That's what I pray that it would be. And we can use our houses that way. For the longest time, I know I forgot to get with Lurleen on the 4th of July, which is coming up really fast. Lurleen has opened up her house for the 4th of July celebration. And on that time, there are usually quite a few people that are not members of our church that come to that meeting. And I remember one or two times when we were there that people across the way or neighbors heard us singing and they were attracted to the singing. And so it's a witness in the community. Food, cooking, and some of you are amazing cooks, can be used for the glory of God. Sometimes for me it's a temptation, because you guys are so good. I'm not blaming you totally for my weight, because obviously there's very few of you that are as heavy as I am. I've lost weight lately, so I hope that my losing weight might be an answer to the gospel. I have this picture, which is in your outline, Reading Not Eating, and it has a quotation of Matthew 4 that it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And when I'm especially tempted, I look at that sign which is beside one of my tables to eat at in my house, and it reminds me, hey, maybe I'm not really that hungry. I can be spiritually hungry and read some of the Bible instead. In Scripture, Mary Hart can also, and I think as Christians we need a merry heart. Sometimes, and I've known some people like this, not too many to the extreme that I will say, but they are so strict in their observances and stuff. I heard, some say on the Sabbath they would take the swing out of the parakeet's cage in case he might have some fun on a Sunday. We're not that extreme. We believe in keeping the law, and that's part of our witness, but not to the point that it's unhappy. Proverbs, though, says, Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." The same person, Solomon wrote that, I believe he also wrote Ecclesiastes, says laughter is mad. Well, is he contradicting himself? In one part he says a merry heart does good like a medicine, and another, laughter is mad. Well, if you read in context Ecclesiastes, he tried laughter as a way of life. And here he's saying it does good like a medicine. And I think we need to remember, in Scripture it says, the Lord says, you work 6 days and the seventh day is a day of rest. And there's so much time given to seriousness and doing certain things. Entertainment and fun is madness if it becomes our entire life, when it becomes the biggest thing in our life. And that's where we get off. That's where we get pulled away. That's where we're not right with God. It should be a smaller part of our life. It's just like wine. There are scriptures that talk about how God has given us wine to bless us. But I've noticed, I once did a whole sermon on this, at almost every verse that talks about wine in the Scripture. there are certain passages where God actually commands his people to drink wine at certain celebrations. Obviously, the Lord's Supper is one of those. We drink wine because we are rejoicing in the salvation of God. But we don't get drunk. We don't do it constantly. And we see that if you did what I did and studied every passage in Scripture on wine, you'd see almost every time that wine is a mocker or a terrible thing, it's the non-believers who are getting drunk constantly, not the believers who are celebrating their salvation or celebrating marriage or things like that. And it's a limited thing. And entertainment and our fun should have its little portion in our lives. It's not something we need to say, oh, it's horrible. Oh, we need to avoid it on all costs. But we put it in its place. Here we see, compare, and this is something, it reminded me of Stephen King when I preached it on a Sunday night, which is fairly recent because Psalm 145, it says, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. And you could say, Pastor, how could that remind you of Stephen King? Well, in one of his books, there are two ghostly girls who are dead. And they say, this is the line, which is repeated more than once, hello, Danny, come play with us forever and ever and ever. And I thought about this. If I make entertainment my whole life, it's the demonic beings, it's the dead, it's those who are dead in trespasses and sins that have this as their entire life to live for entertainment, and it's actually a lie. It's like these two dead girls, and it's not much of a lie in that. If you see them, they're terrifying. Forever and ever, you will be in hell if that's the life you choose. But praising God forever and ever, that is a glorious life. Now, here it says, I will praise you and bless your name every day. And we should make that our life. We should make that the staple of our life. It doesn't mean we can't enjoy the things that God has given us to enjoy, even the bounce houses, even the enjoyable things like barbecues, and all of these things can be tools. We brought this up at an elders meeting recently. There's no reason why we can't do a bounce house on a Saturday or have this on a different day. We just don't do it today, at least our church, because we're focused on the Word. We're focused on this day as a day we set aside for worship. Now, these other things can be a kind of worshiping because we're doing it to the glory of God. We're aiming to praise Him while we're doing it. But we limit them to certain times, to certain places. We limit the amount of this, not just in our worship, but in our lives. If the core of our lives, if our daily lives are more about the Word and prayer and praising God every day and desiring to praise Him, as it says in Psalm 145, forever and ever. If this is the heart of who we are, and on the side, in order to communicate to a lost world our joy and show to them. You know, I once read a book by Rebecca Pippert. She was talking about how to evangelize people outside the church. I'm a Christian, I don't drink. She's quoting that somehow, and I'm getting it wrong maybe. But I think it was a video. The video says, I'm a non-Christian, I don't bowl. Because you can invite non-believers to bowl with you or do these other things. And we have that kind of outreach we can do as a church. And yet it's not the heart of who we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your kindness. Actually, I forgot some points here. I'll just go through them quickly. Online communication, we all do that now, most of us. Ed Gross, he goes to donut shops to share the gospel, and he prays while he's at the donut shops. Movies. James Montgomery Boyce, who was a minister, he passed away just fairly recently, an excellent Bible teacher. He didn't have a Sunday evening service at all. He used Sunday evening to take people out to movies, and then after the movie, he talked to them about Christ. All these things are not necessarily things we would do as a church, but they're examples of things that even godly people have done to share the gospel. And I just wanted to make that note. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We pray now as we will soon go to the Lord's Supper that you would be with us in what we do and say. And Father, we pray that we might honor you in all that we do and say, that we might live to your glory and praise. And Father, that you might help us as a church and as churches now that we have the New Hope pastor with us this morning to honor you in all that we do. And Father, we pray that you might help us to live for your glory and your praise and help us to do your will in all that we do. Even now as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.